Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. And once again, Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives and your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord. Where would we be without you? Where were we without you? Lost. But Lord, for each one of us, you left the 99 to find the one that was lost. You brought us back into the fold, Lord. You brought us out of where we were and what we were. And you changed our lives, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you'd open up your word for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that it would be clearly presented, that it would saturate our very being. I pray, Lord, that you would touch our heart with it and continue, Lord, to change our lives. Open up heaven for us this morning and bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Morning, our opening scripture is in Jonah. You know, we don't preach enough out of Jonah. There's a lot of lessons in Jonah. Lessons about rebellion. I even see addiction and alcoholism in there. Because the effects of things that happened to Jonah, the things he had to go through, I've been there. Sometimes you get tossed out of the boat. But one thing to remember about Jonah, if he hadn't been swallowed by that great big fish, which God prepared, by the way, he would have drowned. Is that true? Uh-oh, there we went again. I think I'm going to have to change microphones, Mike. Michael, not today necessarily, But if I turn my face just a little bit, it's gone. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. You know, I didn't realize it until after I read it this morning. As Trudy mentioned, this is Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And what do they do in the Feast of Tabernacles? They construct a booth. And they have plants and they have, gourds and they have things like, it's a Sukkot. I was going to talk about something else with it, and I will. I do want to mention one thing about Feast of Tabernacles. There was a man in New York City that lived in an apartment building. He lived up near the top floor, near the roof. And so when the Feast of Tabernacles came about, he went up, he went to the roof, and he constructed a tabernacle, a booth, a sukkot. And the landlord didn't like it. The landlord told him to take it down. He said, I'll take it down when it's over. And, you know, it's a seven-day feast, which lasts 8 days. Think about that. It is. That's what it says. So, anyway, the landlord kept pressing him to take it down, and eventually he took him to court. And the judge listened to him and everything. He explained what Sukkot was, what the Feast of Tabernacles was. And the judge says, I'm going to order you to take it down. You have 8 days. But what I want to talk about is what happened to Jonah. Jonah had gone to try to warn Israel, or not Israel, he could warn Israel, to warn Nineveh about their sin. And his message was that God, 40 days, and God was going to destroy the city. Everybody, even the animals were wearing sackcloth and ashes. Everybody repented. God changed his mind. And he allowed them to continue living. But Jonah didn't like that, so he went and sat and pouted in his little booth. My message this morning is about little things mean a lot. Little things. Does God do little things for us? Do we recognize them when they happen? A couple days ago, I was fixing something to eat, and I decided I was going to make some fried egg sandwiches. I love fried egg sandwiches. So I took out my 3 pieces of bread and my 2 eggs, and I'm going to make this fried egg sandwich. And I'm thinking, well, how am I going to divide it up to make 1.5 sandwiches? I figured, well, maybe I'll just, you know, when the egg, one of the eggs, I'll just cut it in half and that'll work. So I cracked open the first egg and put it in the pan, and then I cracked open the second egg and put it in the pan, and guess what? It had 2 yolks. And I thought, God, that was you. Maybe he was telling me it was him because, anyway. Seems like an insignificant thing, doesn't it? And that's what I was thinking. I said, well, you know, this is really kind of insignificant. And then I remembered an encounter I had with the Lord years ago, about 30 years ago. I was living in Oregon. And I was, I'd gone out for a walk. I had a lot of things on my mind. And I was praying, and I talked about how I'm, my problems and me in general was really insignificant. In the whole scheme of everything that God's doing, every, you know, sometime, anyway, I was thinking I was pretty insignificant. And I walk along a little further, and sometimes, a lot of times, I'll sing or hum a worship song in my mind. And the one that came to my mind that I was singing, wording in my mind, was from Jeremiah 32. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too difficult for thee. So I'm singing that. And when I get to there's nothing too difficult for thee, the words were changed in my mind. Instead of me singing, there's nothing too difficult for thee, the words that came out were, nothing is insignificant to me. And I stopped in my tracks and I thought, wow, nothing is insignificant to God. No problem is too big. And no problem is too small. Kitty Kaelin recorded a song back in the 50s titled Little Things Mean a Lot. Anybody remember it? Little Things Mean a Lot? I'm going to read some lyrics from it. Blow her a kiss from across the room. Say she looks nice when she's not. Touch your hand as you pass by her chair. Little things mean a lot. Give her your arm as you cross the street. Call her at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot. Don't have to buy her diamonds and pearls, champagne, sables, and such. She doesn't care much for diamonds and pearls. She'll laugh and say, honey, they just cost too much. So give her your hand when she's lost the way, and give her your shoulder to cry on. Whether the day is sunny or gray, give her your heart to rely on. Send her the warmth of a secret smile to show her you haven't forgot. That always and ever, for now and forever, little things mean a lot. Does God do that? Does he send us reminders like that? Just little things? Fried egg sandwiches. Always look for the little things he does. It's always easy to notice the big things, and he does them too. But look for the little things. The more you look for them, the easier they are to spot. In fact, they have a way of accumulating to what you end up with is really quite a bit. The song talks about how unimportant big gifts are. One thing I learned about Linda, she wasn't impressed with gifts. A birthday present, anniversary, Valentine's Day, or Christmas present, it was really kind of a ho-hum experience for her. No big deal. But if I forgot the card, I only made that mistake once. It was Valentine's Day. She gave me a card. I thanked her. And then she didn't seem too pleased. The next day I was at the store trying to find a Valentine's Day card, and I found one. She just smiled. Lesson learned. Do little things mean a lot to God? Does he notice the little things you do for him? I believe he does. And yes, they mean a lot to him. Little things. What can we do for little things for God? You know, I love the smell of coffee in the morning. I always thought that if I couldn't drink coffee, I'd still make it just so I could have the smell filling up the room. Filling up the house. I make it in a Melitta cone. You just put the filter in, put the coffee in, and you pour hot water through it. It's just wonderful. But what I normally do when after I pour the water in is I kind of stick my face down there and really enjoy the smell of it. What I started doing years ago was I would kind of go like this with my hand, kind of waving it, kind of motioning it, pushing it up to God. Linda used to look at me like, okay. Then she tried not to look. She'd just look away. I didn't see that. Anyway, what I did with the coffee, isn't that kind of like blowing him a kiss from across the room? I love the Lord. I love telling him that. And it occurred to me that maybe because I tell him that in my mind a lot, sometimes out loud, a lot of times out loud, but it occurred to me that maybe that's also from him. And maybe he's telling me that he loves me. It's just a little thing, isn't it? What are some other little things that we can do for him? Maybe pausing before we say grace and just looking at what he's put in front of you and just, wow, because he provides. Maybe showing appreciation for everything he does. Maybe expressions of love for him, seeking his guidance, honoring him, honoring his name, talking to him throughout the day. Maybe it's including him in whatever you're doing. How about having faith and believing in him? That's not really a little thing, though, is it? That's actually a big thing. And if it is a little thing, if our faith is a little thing, we can always ask him to increase it, can't we? The disciples did that, and he was happy to do that. Psalms 18 tells us that he delights in you. He wants you to be happy. He likes surprising you. Once again, another story. Many years ago, not 30, it was probably about 20, 26 or 27 years ago, I had a 66 Ford pickup that I bought. I made payments on it, the guy I worked with, and I paid it off, and then not long after that, the engine went out in it. So I had to buy an engine. I had my vacation pay coming up, 2 weeks vacation pay, so I had enough to cover it. I knew how much it was going to be. It was going to be about $600 or $700. And so I went to the auto wreckers, and they didn't have anything, but I left my phone number so they could call if something came in. And one day he called, and they'd gotten in a wreck, and it was either a 360 or a 390 Ford engine. I was hoping it was a 390 because it's bigger. But it looks the same. The only way you can tell is looking inside at the crankshaft. So we went down to pick it up. I had my daughter with me. She was about 5 or 6. And I asked her to pray that it would be a good engine on the way down there. And she did. You know, simple little prayer of faith that children do. I love children's prayers. We get down there, and they load it into the back of the truck. It was a friend of mine's truck. He was actually... We were putting the engine in his garage. Yeah, I was handing him tools. Right, Bud? Bud knows about that, about people handing tools. So we got it back to his garage, and we had to put it up on a engine stand because we had to turn it upside down and take the oil pan off. It was out of a four-wheel drive truck, and it had a deeper oil pan, and the guy at the auto wreckers wanted it back. So I had to put mine on, but that's okay because mine wasn't four-wheel drive. So we took that oil pan off, and we looked. And we just looked at each other. Everything was new. Everything was new. He likes surprising us. You want Three Oaks for your fried egg sandwiches? No problem. That's just a coincidence. Is that a coincidence? I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. Robert B. Parker said about coincidence that they require a lot of planning. As I said, Psalm 18 says he delights in us. Psalm 37 says we're supposed to delight in him as well. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, he repays for that. Maybe we should too. Aren't you glad that little things mean a lot? So if little things mean a lot, what about big things? They mean even more, don't they? What is the biggest thing that he's ever done? He did it 2,000 years ago. He chose to walk the earth, live life as a man, a sinless man, and he died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for me. He allowed himself to be crucified for anyone that would receive him as their Lord and Savior. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to come forward. Do it now. Don't leave this place without him. This morning we're going to do what Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. We're going to do what we do once a month, every month, the first Sunday of the month. This morning we remember Jesus Christ doing the biggest thing anybody has ever done for anybody. Okay, I'm going to put a couple people on the spot. Terry, Jimmy, would you like to help out and pass out the elements? It's hard to say no, isn't it? You're both wearing red shirts. I'm wearing a red shirt. Anyway. What is it we always say on a Communion Sunday? We talk a lot about verse 28 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine yourself. While these are being passed out, and they can, you guys can start that now. Let's talk to the Lord. If there's anything in your life that you think might disqualify you or might lessen what we're doing here, talk to him about it. Settle up with him. That's all he wants. It says, it's not to disqualify you. It's so that you can deal with it. You can talk to him about it. You can settle up with him and you can partake of this. Because he wants everybody to partake. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 30 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Yes, he's coming back, isn't he? Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank you. So let's take a few moments. Let's take a few moments and just speak to the Lord about what's in our heart. Little things. Thank you, Terry. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this bread. We thank you, Lord, for what it represents. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your body a sacrifice for us. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may eat the bread. Lord, we thank you for this cup, which represents your blood. We thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed for us, the blood that cleanses us from all our sins, all our iniquity, the blood that nourishes us, that sustains us, brings life into us. Bless this cup, Lord, please. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You may drink the cup. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Big things, little things, everything in between, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you would die for us. We thank you, Lord, that each one of us could say that if I was the only person that ever lived, you would have still died for me. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to bless your people. I pray, Lord, that you'd go with us. And Lord, bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service. Remember, Joyce Meyer is tonight. She won't be here in person.